and how not one of them will fall without God taking note of it. How much more shall our Heavenly Father take care of us and hear our prayers and answer us? And I want you to take your Bible this evening and go with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 17. And I don't know how far we'll get tonight, but I need to get done with this if I can, because I won't be able to. I'm not going to be preaching from here Sunday, and so we're going to do our best. How many of y'all young people are on spring break this week? Well, then 8 o'clock don't really mean too much, does it? Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm trying to get some of y'all to loosen up and smile. God loves you. That's right. Exodus chapter number 17. It is a blessing to have our youth over here with us tonight, at least the ones who are here. I know we usually got a lot more than that over there, but we're honored to have you over here tonight. And we were making plans today, beginning to and following through with making plans for our youth camp this year and our retreats and things we'll be doing this summer. And if you come on Wednesday nights, all the young people will listen and all the parents listen. If you come on Wednesday nights and you're not coming to Sunday school, then you need to get to church on Sunday morning. And you say, well, I can't drive. Well, by looking at you, I understand that on most part. So start nagging your mom and daddy or whoever brings you to church and say, come get me for Sunday school. And you'll understand more about that later, but we want everybody that can to go on our youth trip with us in youth camp, but we also want you to take part in more than just Wednesday night. Our youth group is not just a Wednesday night group, it's a church youth group, which means everything that our church is doing, you ought to be part of. Say amen. Right there, we're not shy to invest in your lives and take church money and try to be a blessing and encourage you in your spiritual growth. But we'd love for you to get in here for Sunday school, and it'll be to your benefit if you do. All right, Exodus chapter number 17, and I've blown my font up as big as I can blow it up tonight without glasses. So, hey, I brought a pair of reading glasses somewhere just in case of this, and they gone. Who stole my glasses? Ain't that bad? You can't leave something at church without it getting stolen. No, I'm just kidding. I probably left them somewhere else. Exodus chapter 17, verse number 8. Very familiar text. And we'll begin verse 8. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when Moses when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, that one on the one side and the other on the other side. and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So you get the picture, and it's very visible what's going on here. Moses, the man of God, is, and his Joshua and Aaron and Hur, they, and all the mighty men of valor and the people of Israel, they're fighting, and they're in this battle with the Amalekites. And when Moses went up on top of this hill, he said he's going to raise his hand and toward heaven, signifying he's praying over his people. And as long as he had his hand toward the heavens and raised, the Israelites would prevail. But the Bible said, as we just read, that his hands got heavy. And you can imagine holding your hands up while the battle's raging and while you're praying and doing business with God, your hands began to fall. And so Aaron and Hur saw that the man of God, oh my, shout boy, shout. Aaron and Hur saw that the man of God's hands would begin to fall. And when they did, they began to lose. And the Amalekites would begin to prevail. And Israel began to lose. And so with that in mind, I want to preach on the subject, somebody touched heaven for me. Somebody touched heaven for me. And whether you know it or not, that's true for you in your life. Not just in salvation, but since we've been saved. Ain't you glad there's been people in your life that God has put in your life? Maybe a grandma or a grandpa, or maybe a mama or a daddy or both. And if you've been blessed, you had a grandma and a grandpa on both sides, and a mama and a daddy that was spiritual and loved you enough to put prayers in the bank of heaven for you. And then you had a preacher that prayed and invested in you and prayed for you. Then you had friends, brothers and sisters in Christ who knew that your hands at some point of the journey would get heavy. When you're right in the middle of the battle and the heat is on, the heavier and the harder it got, that you had somebody reaching up and calling on heaven and touching heaven for you. That's a real thing. And so by way of introduction tonight, one night during the Civil War, an officer complained to General Stonewall Jackson that some of the soldiers were making a noise in their tent. And the general asked, "What are they doing?" And he said, "They are praying now," he said, "but they have been singing." And the general said, and is that a crime?" And the fellow said, "The Articles of War orders punishment for an unusual noise." And General Jackson responded, "God forbid that praying should be an unusual noise in our camp." Boy, what a statement. Thank God for the privilege of prayer. I know we just preached on prayer two or three services, but it wouldn't hurt us to hear more preaching on prayer for a year or two. We need to be preached to, and it needs to do more than, we need to do more than just hear it. It needs to get in us. And we need to grab hold of this thing called prayer. And I feel like in my heart, the Lord has impressed me more so than he has in a while to deal with this subject. And so I want to say on the onset, I thank the Lord for prayer. I think it's been overlooked, and just sometimes we go through the motions. I'm going to stop right there and give everybody time to say amen. We all are guilty of just doing it because it's supposed to be done. But real, can I say to all of us, real praying is not wasted time. Real praying is not nonchalant. It's not just... real praying, a prayer that's going to count, a prayer that's going to touch heaven, is going to be done intentionally, on purpose, and with fervency, and with meaning. and with directness. We shouldn't just be praying to be praying. We pray for a purpose, and that purpose sometimes is to praise God. Sometimes praying is to reach God on behalf of ourselves, to call out on God to intervene for something in our own lives. Sometimes it's to intercede on behalf of another. And that's what I'm dealing with tonight, mainly, is somebody, not me, because I was in no way, shape, or form to touch heaven. Have you ever been to that place? Have you ever been to a point where you felt like you couldn't get a prayer answered? Like you couldn't get a prayer past the ceiling? When I was lost, I was that way because you couldn't. A lost man can't pray but one prayer, and that's, Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. Forgive me, Lord, and come into my heart and save me. That's the first prayer that God hears from a lost man. But then after I was saved, sadly, there come points and times in my own life that I couldn't reach heaven. Heaven's out of reach for a man that's got sin in his life. Heaven's out of distance for our voice to be heard in the ears of God when we have sin in our life. The Bible clearly teaches and tells us that. But thank God they were others who were willing on my behalf to call out on God and call out to God and really, I mean, pray through. Not, listen, it wasn't some generic, general, lazy prayer, but I mean somebody that had a burden, that saw somebody that they loved in deep trouble, and they got down and wept puddles of tears and called out on the name of God for me and reached heaven for me. And it's life-changing. Oh, it's amazing. I could stand here all night long and just talk about myself and what God's done for me through the prayers of others. And you would think that could be said about every one of us. Maybe you wasn't as bad as I was, but you was bad enough. Say amen. And what comes to my mind is if others prayed for me when I wouldn't or couldn't pray for myself, then why wouldn't I on the good side of that, after I've come through, after heaven's been touched for me by another, now that I'm through that carnage and through that period of life in my life, why wouldn't I do that for somebody else? Why would, as the common day saying is, why wouldn't I not pay it forward but pray it forward? Amen. We all should. And so thank God for prayer. To be able to go into the very presence of God and seek His face and help for the needs of our life is beyond a blessing. It's beyond value. You can't put a price tag on the fact of being able to call out on God for yourself. But then to have the open door unto the throne of grace, to be invited to call on the name of the Lord and call out the promises of God that He will hear and answer our prayer. My goodness. Listen to what the Bible said, Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Hey, you know anybody in a time of need? I'm overwhelmed right now. I'm having a hard time sleeping at night because I'm so burdened over some people. And I'm overwhelmed at the narrow scope of people that I know and that I'm touching in my own life that are in need of deep, deep prayer. That right now it seems like they can't get through and can't touch heaven for themselves, and they're blinded. And so, not me, but the Bible said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Jeremiah 33:3, I quoted this Sunday, but the Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Listen, you're looking at Right now, behind the pulpit, I ain't what I should be, but thank God I ain't what I used to be. And listen, you are looking and listening to an answer to prayer. You are looking and listening to an absolute miracle that I could have never got through, but because of the prayers and because of those petitions and because somebody else interceded for me and touched heaven for me. I'm a walking, talking miracle and an answer to prayer. You say, I don't believe in that. Well, you're looking at it in living proof. I felt so far from God, I knew my prayers wouldn't get answered. But somebody was praying, and I know who some of them were, and I'm eternally grateful. Matthew 7:7-11, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. You hear that? Everyone that asketh, receiveth. That's a blessing to know. Not some that ask, not part that ask, but everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And so God has given us promise after promise after promise. And God said three times in his word that he cannot lie and he will not lie. And so if he made a promise, you can take it to the bank. If God said it, believe it and put it into practice. And so that's us praying for ourselves. But how much greater of a blessing is it to be able to enter God's presence on behalf of another? For first of all, if you can intercede on behalf of another, that means that you can intercede and you can get through for yourself. That means that you're on good ground. That means that you're right with God, because you can't pray for somebody else if you can't even pray for yourself. That's the truth. And so it's a great blessing and it's a great privilege that we have, that we can touch heaven for somebody. Not just one at a time, but we can go to God and not overwhelm him. Every person on every row could call out to God and reach heaven tonight for somebody different. And God could answer in full power everyone that calleth. Because we don't serve a small, anemic God. We serve a mighty, powerful God. And so it's a privilege of being able to intercede for others in the presence of the Lord. It's an honor to be able to go to God and lift up the needs and the burdens and the souls of other people. Don't you know somebody prayed for you before you got saved? My goodness, ain't you glad they did that? Thank the Lord. Because we couldn't pray. The Bible said we were dead in trespasses and in sins. We couldn't go to God. We couldn't call on God. We didn't know what to do. And furthermore, we didn't want to. We was caught up in our own life, doing our own thing. But somebody reached out and touched heaven for you by name. Amen. Therefore, God heard and answered that prayer. And God came and made a visit to you. And he called you by name. That's how you got saved. Now, if that's true, and it is, we should be calling. How many sinners' names have you called this week? And I ain't meaning by phone or text. I mean, how many have you took and touched heaven with their name? Lord, that'll be convicting to every one of us. I done took the prayer list back. I got another one, an old one right here. Two of them, actually. No, that's a note from Hannah Grace. March 26th, here's our prayer list. pray for children and youth, country and leaders, areas affected by wildfires, Judy Kennedy health, Elijah Caldwell, Keith Buchanan, unspoken, Judy Brackens, Don Lackey, unspoken, Kathy Lang and family, unspoken, and I can't read the last one. But you know what I don't see on that page, which is very common? I see physical problems. I see national problems. I see political problems. I see some spiritual problems, but very rarely do I see lost people's names on the prayer list. What does that say? Say, well, I don't want to embarrass them. This our praying and our prayer requests don't go out over the broadcast. We play music during that time. So you're not going to embarrass anybody. If you love somebody and you want God to save them and you want your church to help you pray for them, then put their name down so we can join together. And as I preached about last week, can corporately, together as a body, call out on the name of God and touch heaven for them. Amen. And so, I want to take the rest of our time and touch, as quick as I can, somebody touch heaven for me. Number one, Moses touched heaven for the saints in Israel. In our text that we just read Exodus 17, verses 8 through 13, the context of the verses, you know Israel was under attack. They needed someone to stand in the gap and make up the hedge for them. They needed somebody to touch heaven for them, because it's very evident by the text we read, if somebody wasn't touching heaven, they were losing. If somebody wasn't calling out to God and lifting hands toward heaven, they were being overwhelmed and overcome, and they would ultimately have lost the battle. But thank God Moses saw the need, and Moses said, hey, I'm getting older, but I ain't too old to pray. Help me up, boys. Aaron and her, come on, let's go up on this high hill. And they got up on that high hill, and Moses lifted them little bony fingers to heaven, and they'd get weary, and they'd begin to tremble, and they'd lift them hands back up. And Moses prayed and touched heaven time and time again until he couldn't hold his hands up no more. Then they'd stay the man of God's hands as he'd begin and continue to fervently call out on the name of God and touch heaven for his people. And then we see the results. Moses answered the challenge and touched heaven for them that day. Because he did, victory was the result. I wonder how many times we just take defeat because we're not willing to pray for other people. I wonder how many times other people are defeated because we're not willing to touch heaven for them. I wonder how many marriages fail because we as a church and we as Christians didn't do our part to touch heaven for them. I wonder how many young people that have sat in this very sanctuary will wind up one day out in the world, out in sin, and they'll be scarred and marred by this world and by the devil, and the scars of sin will stay with them forever if they ever make it back, because we failed to touch heaven for them. How many of our youth have you called out their name and took to heaven this week? Amen. It's convicting for me to say that, but it ought to be convicting for all of us, unless you're doing way better than everybody else. I've been preaching long enough to read faces, and I don't know your heart, I don't know your prayer life, but I know when I made the statement, how many names have you took to heaven this week and put before the throne of God, I seen a bunch of them looks. And hey, I need to have the same look, because I hadn't took near enough this week. Our young people I hadn't spent near enough time this week taking your names and putting them before the God of heaven. And what, hey, you say, I don't know what to pray about. Well, there's two good ways to start. Right there. Amen. God's people need to know, need someone who will touch heaven for them. Our church ought to be known as a place that we ought to have a testimony that if you go to this church and you get down or you get in a bad way, that we ain't criticizing and we ain't scrutinizing and we ain't sowing discord and we ain't kicking you while you're down, but that we are taking you and your problem to the throne of God and touching heaven for you. Our church ought to be known about gossiping about people when they're down. Our church ought to be known as taking people when they're down and not gossiping, but getting them to God and touching heaven for them. Amen. We need people that will touch heaven for others in these days, just like Moses did. Both the soldiers on the front line and the people in the camp needed someone to reach up by faith and ring the prayer bells of heaven for the glory of God and for the good of those people, that they might have victory. I wonder how many people are lit in our church. I ain't preaching to the world right now. I'm preaching to us. I wonder how many of our people at Morning Star Baptist Church are right now in defeat, and they are tinkering on the balance of absolutely losing it all. Listen to me. You can make a difference. You can make a difference. I can make a difference. We ought to spend our time, carrying them to heaven and touching heaven like it was your family, like it was your child, like it was your wife or your husband, and call out to God and touch heaven for them. Amen. Lord, help us with that. Ain't it a blessing to know you do have some people that pray for you at this church? If it's you that's sick, if it's you that's got a problem, ain't you glad you go to a church where people do pray for you and do take your name? But this ought not to be a few people. We ought not to be known to have two or three prayer warriors. We ought to be a church known for praying and who will, at all costs, will get somebody to heaven when they can't get there themselves. It's a scriptural thing to do. I read in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul was constantly asking for the prayers of other people. And if the Apostle Paul needed prayers from other people, how much more do we need it? Listen to what Paul said. He said, 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. Just simple. But I'm asking you, brethren, sisters, pray for me. I need your prayer. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, he said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. I've heard this a lot throughout my time of preaching, Brother Ned. It's always a gut punch to hear it, but I've heard it so many times, I still ain't got used to it. I still don't like hearing it. But somebody will come up and they'll say, well, I just ain't getting fed no more. We leaving the church. I just ain't getting fed no more. And I want to ask them, have you prayed for me? That God would give me and fill me and pour through me something to feed you? And I want to ask you tonight, before you become the person saying I ain't getting fed, will you pray for me? I'm not belly aching, I ain't moaning, I ain't griping. Brother Jackie, you've pastored and you know this. It is a difficult thing to week in, week out, service by service by service, to get a hold of God and find God's mind for a day and for a service. Put that into some kind of form and to feed the people of God. Is it impossible? No. But It's impossible without the help of God. You need God. I listen, if I'm going to be able to feed you from the Word of God, then why wouldn't you pray for me? If you want to be fed, then say, hey, God, I'm going to touch heaven for my preacher. Fill my preacher with the power of the Holy Ghost. God, fill my preacher. Give him the words to say. Protect him, guard him, guide him, and help him that he might feed me the Word of God. I need it. I need it. Lord knows I need it. I covet your prayers. I've asked this about sinners and about those who are in a battle. How many of you have carried a sinner's name to heaven? How many of you have carried a brother or sister that's going through some trial in our church to heaven? How many of you have carried your preacher to heaven this week? Because I need it. The Lord knows I need it. Hebrews 13:18. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. If Paul the apostle needed prayer, I can guarantee you I need your prayer. I can guarantee you Brother Alex needs your prayer. I can guarantee you Brother JD needs your prayer. I can guarantee you Brother Jackie needs your prayer. I can guarantee you Brother David needs your prayer. I can guarantee you everybody in this building needs prayer. Amen. Now, why did I call out the preachers first? I'll tell you why. Because preachers have a bigger bullseye on their back than you do. You can like that or not, but it's the truth. The devil knows if he can get a pastor down, he can take a crew with him. The devil knows if he can take a young preacher down, there's several going alongside. So why wouldn't you cover and blanket your pastor and your assistant pastor and these young preachers? Why wouldn't you bathe them in prayer and take their names to heaven and touch heaven for us? I plead with you to help us. I also read where the saints are, Paul asked for prayers, but I read where the saints, this ain't a, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. No, God commanded you to pray for others. The Bible said in James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. That's a giant of a man of God praying that. And why is he praying it? So that he can have some comfortable, plush, lavish life? No, he's praying, and he said it. He said, pray for them in authority, for this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have, and he transitions right, who will have all men to be saved. He goes right into talking about Christ and how Christ saves. In other words, preachers are useless if they ain't preaching Christ and Him crucified. Now, we need the gospel, but we need to be prayed for while we're delivering the gospel, that all men be saved. We need to pray one for another. We need to pray for the leaders of the church. We need to pray for the preachers. We need to pray for the deacons. We need to pray for the Sunday school teachers. We need to pray for one for another. Amen. When's the last? Did you take your Sunday school teacher to heaven this week? You say, preacher, I can't get to heaven. Your prayers can. I just ain't getting much out of Sunday school. It's just kind of dull. You'd be amazed if you carry him to heaven a few times this week, what it might do for you and for him or her. By the way, you know what I've learned, Brother Ned? And I always come to you because you can take it. Them people that usually tell me they ain't getting fed is usually in the same pasture, eating the same food with a whole flock of other sheep. And they ain't having no trouble eating. You know what I found? It ain't a problem with who's feeding them. It's a problem with what they already filled themselves with. And they full of the world, and they full to the gill with everything else, and there ain't no room to be fed. That's, amen. We need to pray. Here, listen up for this Sunday morning. Good gracious alive. The time has flown. Oh, yeah, y'all don't got school tomorrow. Captive audience. No, I'm just kidding. With this Sunday in mind, we need to pray for that family that'll be visiting Sunday. We need to pray for those children who'll be coming Sunday. We need to pray for every member of our congregation that they, God would help them to pray. We need to pray for the saints of God. We need to pray that the Lord would help us to see the need to pray one for another. May the Lord help us to pray hell off our brothers and our sisters every day. There's nothing in the world like knowing that God's people are praying for you. You can feel it. I'm telling you, you can feel it. I can tell when people are praying for me, and I can tell when they ain't. Because prayer ain't some kind of figment of our imagination. It's not some fiction or some fairy tale. Prayer is a real God mover. Amen. And we need to pray like we've never prayed before. During World War II, a Marine was serving. I ain't used this illustration in a long time. I don't know if y'all remember it or not. I don't remember if I've used it here or not. But during World War II, a Marine was serving in the South Pacific, and his platoon was under fire, and they were trying to signal their comrades that they had taken a certain hillside, and the sergeant issued an order for a man to take the American flag and run out and raise it up on the pole to let the other units know that they had taken the ground. And as he grabbed the flag and ran off to raise it up, he was shot by a sniper. Another man was sent by the sergeant and to retrieve the flag and to go and run to the pole and raise the American flag, and he too was shot and killed. Finally, a young private spoke up and said, "Sergeant, in just a few minutes, it'll be 4 o'clock. If you will let me wait till 4 o'clock, I will take that flag and I'll go hang that flag and I'll raise that flag to the top." The sergeant thought for a moment and said, "All right, son, We'll give you to 4 o'clock. It's just a few minutes away." The sergeant thought for a moment, said, "Go at it." 4 o'clock hit. The private jumped out of his foxhole, ran over, picked the American flag up, and then he ran to the pole, and he put the flag on the pole, and he raised that flag all the way to the top. He turned and ran back, dove in his foxhole without even a scratch. Must let a bullet. The men cheered, and the sergeant asked, "Why, son, why did you have to wait till 4 o'clock? He said, "Well, sir, it's 4 o'clock here, but it's 6 o'clock a.m. back home in Kansas. And he said, I got a godly mama who promised she'd be praying for my protection every morning at 6 o'clock. And I knew that mama would be on her knees praying for me and taking me to the throne of heaven. And I'd be okay because mama was touching heaven for me. Are you touching heaven for a saint of God or some saints of God? Boy, they sure need us to. And by the way, there's going to be times when you need it. Amen. So go ahead while you can and pray for those. So we see Moses touched heaven for the saints. Then we see, I'm gonna just barely touch this one. Abraham touched heaven for the sinners. In Genesis 18, verse 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, and boy, this lines right up with where America is today. We live in Sodom. We live among, you say, not us. Have you ever known a time that they were more sodomites and homosexuals and lesbians and transgenders and all this wickedness that's perverse in the sight of God? It's everywhere. Flaming and proudly in America. And because of the sin was so very grievous, the Bible said, he said, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto them him again and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Boy, that shows you the mercy of God, don't it? That shows you the grace and love of God, don't it? Verse 33, and the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. The context of the passage is this. Abraham prayed for the sinners in Sodom and he touched heaven on their behalf. Only needed 10 souls and Sodom would have been spared. Just 10. Think of it. There was Lot. There was Mrs. Lot. 2 unmarried daughters at the home and at least 2 married daughters and their husbands. That's 8. All Lot had to do was win 2 more in Sodom and the city would have been spared. But what a tragedy that his witness had become so poor that all of Sodom but 3 perished. Because Lot had been there and lived like they did, acted like they did. And out of all those in Sodom that was destroyed, all they needed was two more, and God would have spared the city. And Abraham was praying. Lost people need someone who knows the Lord praying for them. Wouldn't you agree? You may wonder if your prayers matter when it comes to the matter of someone else's salvation. Well, they most certainly do. They absolutely do. You see, your prayers touch the heart of God and in turn touches the hearts of men. It is possible to move men through God by prayer alone, said J. Oswald Sanders. Listen, you can touch the heart of God on behalf of a sinner and them get saved. If you don't believe that and you saved, go home tonight and look in the mirror. Somebody prayed for you. And you liable to still be lost today without those prayers. And that ought to light a fire under us to pray for sinners. J. Sidlow Baxter once said, men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our argument, but they are helpless against the prayers of God's people. They may curse you, slam their doors in your face, turn a deaf ear to your witness, but they cannot oppose the prayers that ascend to the Father's throne on their behalf. God help us to carry a great burden for the lost sin and sinners of this world. They cannot pray for themselves, and they need somebody who will stand in the gap and reach toward heaven for them. Who are those lost ones that's on your heart, in your family? Who are your friends that you worry about dying and going to hell? And how often do you talk to them but not talk to God about them? Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Our hands are going to be so dripping with blood at the judgment seat. And some of our good close family and friends are going to walk by and the most hateful, jeering, snarling scream with piercing eyes and a voice that will be hard to forget. They'll say to you and me, why did you not tell me? Why did you not? If you knew, why didn't you pray for me? And there will be with their blood on our hands, and them dying and going to hell forever. People we love, we don't take time to carry them to God in prayer. A certain Scottish man who had lived in a very worldly life was going over his records left by his father, and a very wealthy man who had just passed away. He noticed that his father had given large sums of money to an orphanage operated by George Mueller. He decided that his father might want him to continue to give to that work, so he decided to pay them a visit one day. It just so happened that when he got there, there was a revival meeting going on, and for the boys and girls in the home. He sat there and listened to that sermon and was convicted of his sin. He came to Jesus that day and was saved. When he stood to give his testimony of his conversion, the workers in the home were not surprised. They said, for 38 years, George Mueller did not cease one day to pray for you and carry your name to God. Don't give up praying for your family. Don't give up praying for your friends. I promise you, I pray for my daddy most of my life knowing him. And I got to see him saved. I've prayed for people I had really given up hope, but I'd keep praying. I'd keep praying, and God save them. God will save your family. He will save your friends. I'll close with this. My time's gone. Mays Jackson, most of you that are at least close to my age and know him, and especially older, but Brother Mays Jackson told of preaching in a certain meeting and using the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 19, as his text. And again, I say unto you, Matthew 18:19, again, I say unto you that if two shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. He said that after the service, a little boy met him at the door and asked him if he really believed what he just preached, if he really believed Matthew 18:19. Brother Mays, as only you can hear his voice, said, "Son, I sure do believe it." He said, well, that little boy proceeded to tell him that his dad had abandoned him and his mother for a life of drink and women. He said that he had not seen nor heard from his daddy since he had left. He told the preacher that he wanted to see his daddy saved more than anything in the world. And he asked Brother Mays to covenant with him and claim that verse together to see his daddy saved. But he wanted to claim that verse and believe that God would save his daddy before the meeting ended that week on Friday night. Brother Mays said he was ashamed to admit it to the little boy that he had his doubts. But he agreed to agree with the little boy that his daddy would come to Jesus. Well, Brother Mays said that every night while he preached, that little boy sat on the front row and he'd say, Matthew 18:19, the whole time I was preaching, Matthew 18:19. He would come back by the door on his way out and he'd say to me, "Hey, Brother Mays, Matthew 18:19, Matthew 18:19. He said, "My daddy's going to get saved this week. Sure as the world." Brother Mays said the whole thing made him nervous. He was afraid that little boy was going to be so disappointed. Well, Friday evening came, and there had been no sign of that boy's daddy. As Brother Mays preached that night, the little boy took his Bible and waved it in the air. The whole time, Brother Mays was preaching, Matthew 18:19, Matthew 18:19. And that little boy looked around as somebody opened the back door of the church. And there come his daddy. Walked in, came down the aisle, took his estranged wife by the hand, grabbed his little boy in his arm, and went down the altar and called out on the name of Jesus and got born again. Say, could God still do that? He absolutely can, because he ain't changed. We've just changed calling on his name. Don't ever give up. Ain't you glad there's some folks who refuse to give up on you praying? My goodness. God's listening, and in his time, they'll come. So Moses touched heaven for the saints. Abraham touched heaven for sinners. I ain't going to preach this, but Hezekiah touched heaven for the sufferers. And then finally, Jesus touched heaven for the souls who were in sin. And this is a whole message in itself. I probably will come back and preach. I at least want to give you the verse. Then Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Jesus, who stood in more need of prayer than any man had ever stood in need of prayer. But while he should have been being prayed for, in his dying breath, he was praying, "Father, forgive them." Amen. What a Savior. What an example. What a roadmap to follow. Amen. Lord, help us to touch heaven for somebody. Amen. Sunday is soon. And I plead with you. Pray for me. Pray for your preacher that God would give me, fill me, that I'd be able to preach the Word of God Sunday morning in such power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost that lost people could not do anything but come to an altar and be saved. Amen. Let's call on the name of the Lord for our loved ones. Let's call on the name of the Lord for our church family, one another. And let's call on the name of the Lord for those that are suffering. And let's call on the name of the Lord for revival. Because He's God and He can and will answer us and show us great and mighty things which we know not. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, take your word.